You can open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. All right. Not only can I see my notes, I can stay in tune. Right there. Awesome. For the last couple of weeks, we've introduced our theme for 2016, which is awake, and kind of our theme scriptures from Ephesians 5. It says, "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And we focused on what it means to awake spiritually, to become aware of this new spiritual realm that is available to us through Jesus. And my hope is that we've begun to paint a picture of what it means to obey this passage. It says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light. Live as children of light." We've been talking about what that might look like. Last week, we talked about the thought life of the children of light. And we talked that although as children of light, we come in contact with darkness in this broken world, and we have to respond to it appropriately, that we don't center our thoughts on what we're not supposed to do or what we're not going to think about. We're confident that the darkness has been defeated, that we understand its emptiness, and we've been given something new to focus on. And we talked about how, or I talked about how this was really in contrast to a kind of Christianity that I grew up with, in which I was taught to focus on the darkness, particularly the darkness in me, that's what I was supposed to do, that the Christian life was about focusing on not sinning. I hope what I'm saying is like, okay. I seem to be that stirring up some kind of a disturbance in the force here. That might be a good thing. But in 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to go ahead and read this passage that we're going to focus on today. 1 John 1, starting in verse 1. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, but if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." You know, for almost a year now, I've been going to the gym on a pretty regular basis. I started about in February last year, so I'm coming up on a year. And for several months, I went for about three times a week. And then in September, October, something like that, I decided I want to go five times a week. And like nobody made me do it. It's just become something that I look forward to. And I feel better physically. Might not look better, but I feel better. And but I have to be honest with you also, we don't have cable at home, and it's my time to watch TV. I work out on that elliptical cross trainer, and it's a pretty good workout, but it also has a built-in TV, which is awesome. And now what I usually watch HDTV, those like renovation, redesign things. I love to see them take the, you know, the worst house in the neighborhood and turn it into the best one. And, you know, it's exciting to watch. You know, I don't really, there's always lots of sports shows on, and I love sports. I played 3 sports in high school, played volleyball in college. I love sports. And if a team that I'm interested in is playing, I love watching a game. But I do not like to watch people sit around and talk about sports. And that's what's on about 25 to 30 channels in the gym every day. And it's like the job description for that person is you have to live, breathe, and eat sports. You have to be arrogant and opinionated. And intelligence, while desired, is not required. And mostly it's like just annoying. So I watch things, watch shows about building things and making things look pretty. And if my man points went down there, then so be it. You guys already know I'm a mama's boy. You know, I grew up holding on to my mom's skirt and that kind of thing. So, but early on, I found myself, as I was, you know, going to the gym, I found myself watching, because I didn't like sports and I was just looking around for other things, I found myself watching cooking shows all the time. And it occurred to me, there's just something wrong about this. Because I'm just going, you know, I mean, it's a good workout. I burn about between 700 and 750 calories a day on my workout. But I found myself just, you know, going there. And I'm going, oh, I am straight up cooking that. And I am eating it. I'm thinking, okay, I'm burning 725 calories. But what this woman is cooking, one serving has got to be 3,000 calories. And at some point, it's like, okay, yeah, this is definitely drawing me in here. I'm, you know, it's taking my mind off the pain in my body. But it's like, I don't actually want to go there. I mean, that's the reason I need to be on here. And what I'm focusing on is not necessarily, maybe a little counterproductive. I was thinking yesterday too about this topic of what we focus on, and I just had this memory of one of the first dates in high school where I drove, and I went and picked up a girl, and we went out, and I remember driving home, and I remember like holding her hand, you know, sweaty, and but I'm driving, and it's really exciting to hold somebody's hand if you've never done it before. And I almost ran off the road on the curve. I mean, we weren't even talking, but I was just there. I was just like in this other world going, whoa! And you kind of start hearing, you know, gravel under your right tire. It's like, whoa! I'm like, whoa! I gotta watch what I'm doing. It's like, what was I watching? And I realized I wasn't watching anything. I was just there, but my foot was on the gas. You know, that's not good. You know, and life's like that. If we're going, if we're not watching what we're doing, if our eyes are not on the road, if our eyes are not on like where we actually want to go, some pretty bad things can happen. And we got to pay attention. We got to keep our eyes on the road. We can't focus on where we don't want to go. I had some interesting conversations after the sermon last week, And I was talking about how as children of light, we're not to focus on the darkness. But I had a conversation or two at least about, what you're saying is not that we ignore sin, right? And I was like, exactly, yeah, I'm not saying that we ignore sin or we minimize sin. I'm just saying that's not what we focus on. It's counterproductive to focus ourselves in on what we don't want to do. In the light, we focus on what we do want to do. You can't, it's impossible to focus your mind on thinking about what you don't want to think about. It's self-defeating. But here, John, in this letter, it writes about this idea, about what it means to live as children of light, what it means to walk in the light or to live in the light. He starts off saying, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, we've looked at it, we've touched it, our hands have touched it. I'm talking to you. This is decades after Jesus was crucified, buried, resurrected, and ascended back to the Father. And there were all kinds of stories about Jesus going on. And in fact, at this time, there were some teachings drifting into the church, which would later become full-blown what's called Gnostic heresies, which says Jesus didn't actually come in the flesh. And John seems to be trying to deal with some of those kinds of ideas. He goes, no, we're telling you about a real man. Our eyes saw him. Our ears heard him. My hands touched him. He was real. I want to tell you about the real Jesus. And that really is, as followers of Jesus, that should be our lifelong pursuit, to get to know the real Jesus. We talked last week about these ideas that get in our heads, and sometimes we learn them from church, but we didn't learn them from Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we're always seeking to know the real Jesus. And John says, that's who I'm proclaiming to you, the real Jesus. And through him, we proclaim to you the eternal life, the eternal kind of life that he lived out and which is offered to you. And he says, and you know what happens when you grab hold of eternal life? We come into fellowship with each other, and then we together are in fellowship with God and with his Son. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light, in him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. He says, here's what we're to do. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. And walk in the light. Walk in fellowship with God and in fellowship with each other. And he's painting a picture. And when I read this passage, I see this huge room. I mean, it's a room big enough for everybody in the world to be in. And in the middle of the room, there's this, it's like a big spotlight comes down. And in the middle of it, it's there's light there, and then outside that, there's darkness. And in the light, you can see what you're doing, you can see where you're going. What you're doing is kind of in view of everybody. But if you step out into the darkness, there may be like the comfort of anonymity, the comfort of hiding. If you feel guilty, if you feel ashamed, you can go out into the darkness where nobody can see you. But at the same time, you're stumbling, you're tripping, you're running into walls, you're falling down, you're hurting yourself, and you're hurting other people. And Jesus says, I'm inviting you to come out of that and come into the light, to live in the light, to walk in the light where you have fellowship with God and fellowship with each other. What does it mean to live as children of light? Well, it's clear from this passage that living as children of light, or walking in the light, as John calls it, does not mean sinlessness. In fact, he says, if you claim to be sinless, you're just a liar. You're in denial. The truth is not in you. So walking in the light doesn't mean that you are sinless. But it also means, it doesn't mean that you deny your sin, that you minimize your sin. It means that you don't minimize it, that you don't pretend that it's not there, or you don't pretend that it doesn't matter. Saying we're not the kind of people who dwell on the darkness is not saying sin is no big deal. What it says is we keep our eyes focused on where we're going. Our eyes are on the road. We're not looking off somewhere, you know, off the road. We're keeping our eyes on the road. We're staying focused. We're staying in fellowship with God and with each other. Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, this is when Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Being awake, as we're talking about, it means waking up to the life that Jesus is offering us. It's the light going on, the light of life. John 1, verse 5 says, light has come into the world. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not, and that word's translated a few different ways, the darkness has not apprehended it, comprehended it, the darkness has not grasped it. The darkness hasn't overtaken it. It's an interesting word, kind of the English word that I think kind of gets it the best is the word grasp, because grasp can mean to grab something and hold on to it, but it also means like you grasp an idea, you get it. And he's saying the light of life, the eternal kind of life, came into the world, and guess what? Darkness just doesn't get it. Darkness has not grasped it. And we, apart from God's work in us and God building faith in us through the Word, we were not able to grasp it. But Jesus invited us to wake up, to awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you because he wants us to get it. You know, in grasping Jesus' teaching is more a matter of heart than it is of intellect. You know, the struggle to know the real Jesus can be, well, we can feel the struggle sometimes. Like we've been talking about, you know, you can think, man, there's so many different versions of Jesus out there. Man, if I could just know more. If I could just figure it all out. And it's a good thing to do, to dwell on that and try to figure it out. Because our reason, our intelligence, and even our experience are tools for grasping the truth. But Jesus says, you know, you have another tool at your disposal. And I think it's an even a more fundamental one. And that is your will. Or as the Bible calls it sometimes, your heart. And Jesus says, if you want to know God's will, you'll know it. If you seek God, you will find God. If you want to know what is right and what is good, If you, as our verse says, if you try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord, God will reveal it to us. And that's a matter of setting our hearts or setting our will, turning ourselves, our whole being toward God and saying, God, I want to know you, and I want to know what is good and right and true. And I know the darkness is all around me, but I'm not going there. I'm not looking there. I'm not going to take my eyes off the road because I've been there and I've done that. See, darkness has this, darkness is deceiving because it makes promises. What it promises is freedom. Step out of that spotlight where everybody can see you. Step over here in the dark and you can do anything you want. Nobody's going to know. It promises freedom and delivers slavery. It promises freedom and delivers slavery. There's this kind of chilling verse in John chapter 12 where Jesus says, walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Check this out. It's exactly the same word as it's that word, the Greek word grasp, katalambano. It's like light is shining in the darkness, but the darkness didn't grasp it. But Jesus says, walk while you have the light before darkness grasps you. Walking in the light doesn't mean we ignore or minimize the darkness, that we ignore or minimize our sin or pretend we don't have it. Walking in the light certainly does not mean hiding our darkness, hiding our sin. But it's God speaking God's truth into our lives so that the darkness is exposed for what it is. And we know that the promise is a lie. And we also understand the power. The darkness doesn't grasp the light, but the darkness can grasp you. So not dwelling on darkness does not mean we deny that we're sinners, or that we ignore our sin, or that we minimize it. It doesn't mean that we hide it. We're transparent, vulnerable, honest, and open. It means that walking as children of light, walking in the light, means we're just real with each other. Which sounds great until you're the one that has to do it, right? You know, but there's something that really powerful that happens there. John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. When we're open, when we're honest, when we're vulnerable, when we're not hiding, some really powerful things happen. One is we come into fellowship. We come into deep spiritual relationship with each other. The kind of relationship that we're actually wired for. And something else happens too. We have ongoing, everlasting purification by the blood of Jesus. See, this is the part where, see, we hit these walls, I believe, spiritually. We hit these walls, and we go, yeah, I totally believe. that the darkness just ends in trouble. And I totally believe that I ought to be open and vulnerable. What I have trouble believing is that Jesus really does, the blood of Jesus actually does purify me. I also have trouble believing that if I'm open and honest and I confess my sins like this is saying to do, that I doubt that I will really be accepted. I got a feeling that to have fellowship, I have to pretend that I don't mess up like I know I do. To be able to have a relationship with God or with other people where we can just be real and we're not condemned, we're not ostracized, we're not written off is one of those things that somehow it seems too good to be true. And a lot of times it's because we haven't experienced it. And what that means is that if we have hope, if we're going to have hope of creating a community of light, it means not only do I have to be willing to be real and to be vulnerable, but I have to be the kind of person that other people can be vulnerable with me, and I don't judge them, I don't write them off, I don't ostracize them, I don't run away. I don't punish them for being open. Now, listen, sin has consequences. That's part of the power of darkness. And sometimes that's one of the difficult things if for yourself or people that you love. We have to go through the consequences of our sin. And sometimes it can be unpleasant. Other times it can be almost or maybe all the way to devastating. Because we can really mess up, right? We can really mess up. But what it's tempting to do when you really mess up is to run for the darkness, to hide. And that promise of freedom, that promise of safety in the dark just doesn't deliver. And in a crowd this size, I just imagine there's some of us here today who are feeling that you just don't have this kind of fellowship. And part of it is just hard to believe that it's possible. Because to have it, to come into fellowship with each other and into this kind of fellowship with God, it takes opening up and being real. If you feel like you don't have any close relationships, just think about this question. Do you talk like real talk with anybody? It's not appropriate to talk real talk with everybody. You know, I try to make a practice of being vulnerable up here, but I'm not going to tell you all my stuff. You know, some of you would just want to fire me on the spot. Others of you would just burst into tears. You know, I mean, it's not appropriate. But I do want you to know that I've got men in my life that I can and do say anything to. I have a number of friends, but I've got some friends, some really close friends. I'll go ahead and tell you three of them: Steve Keckley, and Tim Kinsey, and Greg Dixon. Those guys, I will say anything to them, and I do say anything to them. I talk about my sin. I talk about my temptation. I talk about how I'm feeling. I talk about what I want to do, and I talk about my doubts and my struggles, and we share our victories and those kind of things. And I guess my question is, do you have that kind of relationships in your life? And it starts with, do you believe that that kind of relationship is possible? We all struggle. And I'll just share this struggle with you. I'm a preacher, right? And, you know, we all need to confess our sins, but I don't know that if you struggle with something that you necessarily stand to lose your job for it. Now, if you do it all day at work, you might. But I tell you what Satan whispers in my ear is, you need to be perfect. You need to have it all together. You can't struggle like that. Like what? Like you're doing right now? You can't struggle like that. You better not tell anybody that. So I'm a preacher, but I don't think I'm really that different in a lot of ways. I'm assuming that you hear whispers in your ear like that. Yeah, this, you know, vulnerable is a kind of a popular thing to talk about now. Yeah, be vulnerable, but dang, I wouldn't share that. Seriously. Michael kind of alluded to this, but I mean, we go through stuff, but especially when you're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. If you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, I mean, at that point, all bets are off. All kinds of crazy things are going to go through your mind. But here's the... walking in the light doesn't mean you're not hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. It means you're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired in the light. You're hungry or angry, just frustrated. Or you're lonely or you're tired in fellowship with other people. These very common yet very, very powerful emotions essentially want to do one thing, and that is drag you out of the light and into the darkness. What they're trying to do is to take your focus off the road, to take your focus off the light, to take your focus off of Jesus and have you starting to focus on the darkness, sometimes the darkness that's within you or the darkness that's all around you. Say, hey, look at that. But in our theme verse, it says, you once were darkness, but now you are light. That's the truth about you. As we talked about all last year, you have been made new. New identity. It's not wishful thinking. It's not pie in the sky. You are light. Now, live as children of light. You're not ignoring sin or darkness. You're not minimizing the darkness. You're not hiding darkness. But you are not focused on it. You're real. You're in fellowship with one another, with the blood of Jesus constantly, in an ongoing way, purifying us from all sin. Look in chapter 2. after this this passage on living as children of light or walking in the light, John talks to the people that he's addressing. And I love what he says. It's like what he said at the very beginning, I write this to you so that your joy may be complete, so that our joy may be complete. Verse 12 of chapter 2. He says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Do you accept that? Do you believe that? I am, the reason I am speaking to you this morning is because your sins have been forgiven because of Jesus' name. That's why I'm talking to you right now. You were darkness, but you're not anymore. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men and young women, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you. And you have overcome the evil one. That's why John was writing to these people. And that's why I'm speaking to you. And that's the truth that God wants to speak into your heart. Even when you're hungry or angry or lonely or tired, he says, let me tell you the truth about who you are. Your sins are forgiven because of the name of Jesus. You have known the one who is from the beginning. You are strong. And you have overcome the evil one. The battle's done. You have overcome. It's done. That's the truth. That is truer than what's being whispered in your ear by the darkness. It's the truest thing about you, is this new identity you've been given. You were darkness, but now you're light. Live as children of light. Come into fellowship. I want to give you a challenge. If you don't have somebody in your life that you can say anything to, I want you to pray about that. I want you to ask God to put somebody on your mind that you can talk to. You may already know some people that you actually trust them, but you just haven't taken the initiative to reach out and say, maybe in fellowship today, maybe after church, you can say, you know what, can we get together and talk? Because I need to talk. One thing is for certain, Satan's dream for you is to pull you out of light and into darkness, to lure you with the deceptive promise of freedom. But you were wired for fellowship with like-minded people, and you, most importantly, were wired for fellowship with God. Walking in the light is not about being sinless, it's about being open. It's about being real. Sharing real life with each other. But the cool thing is, the kind of life that we get to share is the eternal kind of life that Jesus came to show us. We've been invited into that. We've been invited to wake up and let Jesus shine on us. Let's pray.